It's here.
Still on his feet. Left side touchdown.
The wait is over.
Throws it up in traffic and it's intercepted.
High school football begins now. ...97.9 FM, WCHL Championship Sports, and Merritt Store and Grill present the High School Football Game of the Week. All season, join Anthony Wellman, Jeff Hamlin, Paul Connell, and Walter Storholt for twice the games on 97.9 FM and streaming live on WCHL's website, chapelboro.com.
Got a man, right sideline, 20, 10, 5... Touchdown!
WCHL Championship Sports High School Game of the Week is presented by Mark Vitale Nationwide Insurance in Chapel Hill. And in Hillsboro, AAI Nationwide Insurance.
Still on his feet, left side, touchdown!
Get ready for all the action, all the excitement, and exclusive coverage you can't find anywhere else. High school football kicks off now. Here's your host, Paul Connell.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Southern High School here in Durham, where the Orange Panthers come back for another heaping helping of the Spartans alongside Jason Tudrin, who grows possibly the best playoff beard outside of Brett Kiesel, and Jeff Hamlin wandering the sidelines, a man who is intimately familiar with both of these teams. This is the third round of the North Carolina High School Athletic Association playoffs, and Jeff Hamlin, we're going to start with you. This is an intriguing matchup, mostly because anyone who was here just a few short weeks ago to see Orange lose their first game of the season in the last regular season game knows how close they came to knocking off these Spartans.
And, of course, in every game it comes down, Paul, to which team makes the biggest mistakes at the most critical times. Whichever team does that, chances are it comes out on the short end of the stick. Orange was the team that did it that night. But these two teams have one thing in common, that's speed. And if you ask any coach that has gone against either one of these two teams, they'll tell you that these are the two fastest teams in the Orange and Durham County areas. They have more weapons than anyone else. And the most intriguing thing about it is here we are. We started practice in early August. Now we're on the edge of December, and these two teams are relatively healthy, especially when it comes to skill players.
Well, and if you had to pick in the beginning of the season or midway through the season, or you know, at any point during the season after seeing both these teams play, Jason Tudrin, if you had to say, well, these are the two teams that should really survive throughout this new North Carolina Big Eight Conference and should really play for the marbles, these would be the two.
Absolutely. They're the most complete teams left playing in the area. And there's an old saying in coaching is either you have speed or you're chasing it. And everybody at home's been chasing it all year. And it's a great time of year for high school football because you're playing on Thanksgiving weekend and you're making a statement for your town and your community and your school.
Now, Jason Tudrin, head coach at Carrboro High School, you've gone on quite a championship run last year with 15-0, ended up losing in the last few seconds of the state championship game. Sorry, Jason. But you know quite a bit about playing teams twice.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I have a sneaky suspicion tonight that the defense that plays the best, I know it's an obvious statement, is going to come out on top. These defensive coordinators have had a handful of weeks to prepare for each other. I don't think there'll be any new tricks offensively that they'll have to prepare for. And it's just going to come down to tackling and making defensive plays because each team gave up over 50 points in the last contest. And the best defense is going to walk out with a win tonight.
Well, and Jeff Hamlin, you were actually at Cleveland High School for that wild affair between Orange and Cleveland. Tell us a little bit about that in retrospect.
Well, obviously, it's the most points that Orange has given up all season long, Paul, and it was a very intriguing matchup for a lot of different reasons. First of all, Orange simply couldn't be stopped on offense. That's no big surprise because we haven't seen a team really stop Orange all year offensively. However, Orange lost maybe its best defensive player in the first quarter of that game when Bryce Wilson suffered a concussion the first quarter, just the second kickoff of the game. Now, Bryce was taken to a hospital. He missed the last three quarters of the game. He will play tonight. The doctors have medically cleared him, and so Orange obviously is getting an important player back. The Panthers, though, had over 200 yards rushing from Tay Jones, and it was exactly what you would have expected from the Orange skilled players, and that's what led them to the victory.
So the Southern Spartans coming in at 11-2, Orange coming in at 13-1. Most important, that single loss comes at the hands of the Southern Spartans. 7-0 Southern in the newly minted Big 8, 3A North Carolina Conference. Orange comes in at 6-1. And we're going to send Jeff Hamlin down to the sidelines. We're going to take our first two-minute break, and we'll be back with the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week. Ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be a dandy. Buckle up.
I'm Edward Holmes, president of Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. Most of us don't get to work at home in our PJs. If traffic and a commute are part of your daily routine, let us make that part of your day a little more enjoyable. Stop by Cruisers and enjoy a fresh brewed coffee and fresh baked biscuit in the morning, or a refreshing fountain drink with chewy ice, a hot dog, or a snack to end your day. Cruisers has four commuter-friendly area locations at Chapel Hill North, Glen Lennox, Powell Place, and Briar Chapel.
Cruisers, good to go.
At Harrington Bank, it pays to be a customer. As your local community bank, we are working on the best ways to earn you more money, which is why we offer competitive CD rates. Call or stop by one of our three convenient locations in Chapel Hill to learn which account is right for you. We are located in Southern Village, Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, and the intersection of Highway 54 and 40. Harrington Bank, you deserve banking like this.
6 seconds on the clock. Taylor spins, pulls up, and hits the jumper. Let's go to the instant replay. Taylor made a move past the guard, and what was that?
Looks like he pulled out his phone and called Geico for a free rate quote.
In the middle of the game?
He saved hundreds of dollars on his car insurance and nails the shot.
You can't stop him. You can only hope to contain him.
Students, alumni, and faculty of any ACC school could qualify for a special discount on Geico auto insurance. Call or go to geico.com/theACC.
AT&T asks, are you that guy? That guy who not only paints his face to cheer on his team, but then paints his entire torso? Well, you don't have to be that guy to prove your fanhood. Switch to AT&T and follow your favorite team like never before. It's much better than perusing the hardware store for this season's color palette of belly paints. You have the speed to get scores, stats, and highlights fast with AT&T. Rethink possible.
Visit att.com or store for details.
Back atop the box at Southern High School in Durham for a big one tonight. Jason Tudrin, this is going to be an exciting matchup. You know, and I think you kind of preemptively got our point across before we went to break, where everybody looks at these high-octane offenses. And it is not an exaggeration. These are two high-octane brands of offense. Ask anybody in the North Carolina 3A Big 8 Conference that has had to play either of these guys. But really, truly, the exception, you know, the important exceptional play may actually have to come on the defensive side of the ball tonight. You and I talked after we saw that Chapel Hill game, which, look, Chapel Hill was blown out of that on the scoreboard, but for about two and a half quarters, they were absolutely in it. And the one thing that we both left shaking our heads about was, it's incredibly brash, almost bordering on arrogance in a good way, that this offense for the Spartans just says, hey, you know, go ahead and do whatever you want on the other side. On the other side of the field, we'll score more than you will.
Yeah,
and the defense, not all that impressive.
That absolutely correct. You know, and you go back to on the positive side for Southern's defense, they did get a little bit of confidence in that Chapel Hill game by having a couple goal line stands, creating some turnovers down inside the 5 yard line. So I know as a coach, you can draw on those experiences. And I know they had the ball down. Cardinal Gibbons had the ball down inside the 10 yard line at the end of the game last week, and obviously Southern's still playing. So I think the key to this whole thing tonight, and I can use a little bit of a comparison. We played Reidsville in the third round last year. Everyone was talking about the offenses, and really what it was is a defensive struggle. It was a 20-16 ball game, and I think that's what you're going to be looking at tonight. I'd be really surprised if both teams get up into the 40s, but you know, we'll see where it goes because there are some talented offensive weapons on this field.
Well, one of the things that head coach Pat Moser knows is that this Southern Durham team let his team back into the game in that last regular season game. In fact, they went down by four scores you know, early in that contest. I mean, blink of an eye before Pat Moser and his coaches were able to kind of get their heads around what was going on and make some changes. But then, of course, Orange coming back and really had a chance to win that game in the fourth quarter. And Southern Durham just let them hang around, let them hang around. They eventually ended up winning it, of course, by 14 points. But it was a seven-point contest in the last minute 20 seconds. And, you know, one thing that the folks at Southern Durham have noticed now is, yeah, if you're going to go ahead and you're going to be this high-powered offensive, juggernaut, but you're not going to stop anybody on defense, well, then you better keep playing offense.
Absolutely right. And I think from Orange's standpoint, you're going to have to build on that scenario from the previous game and saying that, you know, we ran out of time, guys. We didn't get off the bus and play well in the first quarter. We were down 27-0, but you can build on the positives of that game, that they did make it a competitive deal and ran out of time at the end of the game. So I think this is going to be a really interesting test to see if there's anything up either of these coaches' sleeves early in the game to try to get the other team on their heels to build a little bit of momentum offensively, because it's like a video game environment as far as the last team that has the football has been the most successful.
And Jeff Hamlin is down on the sideline. Let's see if Jeff has anything to tell us.
Well, we're standing by now with Coach Pat Moser. And, Coach, obviously these are two excellent teams going at it tonight, the top two teams from the Big 8 Conference. Have you faced a team as speedy as the Southern Durham one?
Yeah, about 15 years ago over at Burlington Cummins. This is about as fast as you're going to find right here. Fast and talented. Good team, real good team.
What was practice like this week for your team? First of all, let's get to health. How's Bryce Wilson?
Bryce is fine. He took a shot to the head and was a little bit woozy on the Friday, so we took him out of the game for the precautionary and had him kicked out. And he's fine. He's practiced this week. He's ready to go.
How do you hope to match with Southern Durham's weapons? Obviously, they have as many weapons as anyone in the state, with one player having committed to NC State, Duke, and North Carolina State looking at Kendall Hinton, another running back as committed to West Virginia. So how do you match up with that?
Well, that's hard to do. You know, when a high school team has three Division I kids on the team, that's hard to match up with, you know. But we got a good group, and, you know, we'll do the best we can. We have to play a little bit softer coverage than we would like sometimes to try to keep things in front of us. Or, you know, it could turn into a big play game right quick. So, you know, we'll have to mix up our coverages and our rushing, try to put some heat on Hinton and just see how it goes.
Cleveland's running back last week, Aaron Farmer, ran for over 1,000 yards this season, almost had 100 yards against your team. Kendall Hinton is a Southern quarterback that's a little more pocket-oriented, but he's also not afraid to show his mobility. Did going against Aaron Farmer help prepare you to face Kendall again tonight?
I don't know that it did, because we didn't do a very good job stopping Farmer. So, Hinton is extremely fast and elusive, and his game is he drops back to pass. If nothing's open, he waits for the field to get spread out, and then he takes off. It's hard to catch him.
Good luck tonight, Coach.
Thank you.
Paul, we'll send it back to you.
Thank you, Jeff Hamlin. Jeff will be on the sidelines with us all evening, bringing us insightful interviews and analysis, as he has done all year. You're listening to the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week. Going to take a quick 60-second break alongside Jason Tuger in just 15 minutes before this thing gets up and rolling. Third round of the North Carolina High School Athletic Association Championships. The Orange Panthers set for a little revenge against these Spartans of Southern Durham back in 60.
Seven and a half million Americans live with the visible signs of psoriasis every day. However, there's finally an answer. X-Track Laser Therapy at Central Dermatology Center. With an average of 8 to 10 safe and pain-free treatments, patients have experienced meaningful clearance. It is FDA approved and it is accepted by all major insurances, including Medicare and TRICARE. So if you want to live clear and live free, X-Track Therapy is now available at Central Dermatology Center, just off East 54 in Chapel Hill. Find out more at Central Dermatology Center.
Well, ring-a-ding-ding, the year was 1936, and Leo and Lillian Goodwin were hot to trot for the world to save some big bucks on automotive insurance. So they opened up a little joint called Geico. Geico had the goods for all the dolls and Joes who were keen on swell service and keeping the cabbage.
Flash forward over 75 years, and Geico is still helping customers save money every day and with 97% customer satisfaction. Today, the peeps would refer to that as pretty darn tight.
Geico, saving people money for over 75 years.
Boy, any team that tried to play defense against either the Orange Panthers or the Southern Spartans will tell you that speed kills. And on both sides of the ball here, let's start with, let's start with Southern Durham because they're the ones that are, that come in with the higher seed. You know, Orange, very familiar with Kendall Hinton. Kendall Hinton, junior quarterback.
I can hear you.
Kendall Hinton, a junior quarterback, and he is, you know, quite a threat. And Jason, you know, in the first game, you know, he throws for 452 yards, five touchdowns, rushed for 128 and another score. You know, this is a guy that will absolutely kill you. And, you know, you heard Pat Moser talk about, you know, how cool, calm, and collected he is in the pocket, and he has the ultimate confidence, you know, in his offensive line and in the fact of how defenses have to play him. That, you know, if there's nobody open right away, if he doesn't find a favorite receiver, he waits until the seas part and picks himself a lane. And, boy, he's got that sprinter speed. And once he gets past your linebackers, it's a foot race.
Yeah, I think the key to this Southern offense is the ability, you know, Coach Moser just said in his interview, they're going to play off a little bit and keep their offense in front of them. And teams have done that, and Southern and Chapel Hill did that earlier in the season, early in the playoffs, I should say. And they have three senior line running backs and wide receivers, and Marcus Trowell and Kevin Mason. In regards to they get that ball at 5 yards or 6 yards, they're really good at making people miss. So I think the key to the Southern defense is to run, or the Orange defense is to run to the football and to gang tackle. And to take good pursuit angles, because if you take a playoff on defense, then one of those guys can make you miss and go the distance. So that's going to be a challenge for the perimeter defense of Orange tonight.
Well, and you mentioned Maurice Trowell and Derek Mason, of course, in the first contest. Trowell with 8 passes for 142 and 2 touchdowns, while Derek Mason caught 10 for 157, and he had 2 scores as well. And, you know, it's been an incredible feat just watching the chemistry between particularly Kendall Hinton and Maurice Trowell, and Derek Mason, because it's three guys, two receivers and a quarterback that are absolutely on the same page, it seems like, all the time. And you know, even the great job that you know, Jeremy Peck against Orange, Chapel Hill against Orange, Jeremy Peck of Chapel Hill did a great job of shutting Kai Muller down. And until the last 2.7 seconds of that game, and then Muller runs the post pattern, and, you know, that's how they win that one. But what was remarkable, and I'm getting around to my synergistic point here, is the patience that was exhibited by Garrett Clower, the quarterback for Orange, who we haven't spoken about. And the same patience was exhibited by Kendall Hinton when Peck was put on Mason, you know, in that previous game. Because it's almost like, look, we know we're going to get you. And it was that poise that was really impressive.
I agree in regards to Orange's defense. And I really think the key tonight for Southern's offense is their offensive line. I think they played unpredictable or been inconsistent, if you will, for the first half of this playoffs. And I think the key to the whole thing for them is protecting Hinton, and then Hinton can't make mistakes.
Well, Hinton has not made too many mistakes, but when he has, you know, again, it's like Doritos. Just keep eating them, we'll make more. And they've been able to score and score and outscore and kind of outrun their mistakes. But the key to Southern has been, look, they come off the bus ready to play. You know, the last game again, they jump up 20-0 at the end of the first quarter on Orange, add another one in the second quarter, and it wasn't until they kind of took a deep breath and relaxed that they realized, well, Orange still has some teeth in their head and they can play some football here. And you know where we're going next with that is, you know, offense both teams have speed. Southern certainly gets the edge there, but Orange seems to have the experience and the grit and maybe a little more balance, so maybe more weapons. On defense, I think Orange, I'd have to give them the just a little nod there, although, again, Southern seems to have a little more speed. I think that what will be particularly interesting, we talked about this again in the last game, is special teams. I think the special teams across the board, you have to give the nod, at least full team execution, you have to give the nod to Orange because they just seem to execute better on special teams.
I think that's a great point. If you go back to the Northwood game earlier this season, J.D. Brooks had a very long punt return for a touchdown, and they've been notorious at Orange High School to run boundary, sideline, short side of the field punt returns where they run their whole defensive line of linebackers, and the whole stadium can see it coming, and they do a great job of executing that, and J.D. Brooks can do things with the football.
Well, and he certainly has. We're going to take a quick 60-second break. We are 8 minutes from this one gearing up. We're going to go down, talk to Jeff Hamlin when we come back. But right now, you're listening to the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week on 97.9 FM, WCHL 1360 AM, and chapelboro.com, streaming live. Alongside Jason Tutcher, Paul Connell, Jeff Hamlin down on the sidelines. Come on back.
You may already know that AT&T is the nation's fastest 4G LTE network. And now, independent third-party research has confirmed that AT&T is also the most reliable 4G LTE network. But what does that mean for you? Whether you're connecting with family and friends, getting the job done at work, or simply looking for entertainment, you want a wireless network you can count on. That's why AT&T built the nation's fastest 4G LTE network. And we're not the only ones saying it. PC Magazine recently ranked AT&T's LTE network as the fastest overall, and PC World stated that AT&T's LTE service is the fastest 2 years running. Not surprisingly, that same lightning-fast network is now the most reliable as well. AT&T, the nation's fastest and now most reliable 4G LTE network. Rethink possible. AT&T reminds you to never text and drive. It can wait.
Speed claim based on national carrier's average 4G LTE download speeds. Reliability claim based on data transfer completion rates on nationwide 4G LTE networks. 4G LTE not available everywhere.
Hey, Ron. It's my favorite time of the year again.
You mean the holidays, David?
I mean basketball season, Ron. But now that you mention the holidays, you should come do some holiday shopping at Fitz Lumber and Hardware. We've got great stocking stuffers and all the tools needed for the weekend warrior fathers out there attempting the ever-growing honey-do list into the new year. From the Fitch Lumber and Hardware family, we wish you and yours a happy and safe holiday season. As always, thanks for your business.
Big sports weekend on WCHL and chapelboro.com, and it all starts tonight. Orange High School coming out of Hillsboro down here to Southern Durham to meet with these Spartans who have not been headed all season. These Spartans, a fantastic job of really outscoring everybody that they have played. And we're going to pause right now for the national anthem.
Dawn's early light, what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly star.
outstanding version of the national anthem here at Southern High School, where the Spartans come in undefeated and would like to keep that mark rolling. And it is the Orange Panthers coming in, of course, with one loss on that mark, one demerit, and it's at the courtesy of the Southern Spartans. Jeff Hamlin is walking down on the field at the 25-yard line, and Jeff, what's it look like down there? What are our field playing conditions?
Well, right now, Paul, it's very interesting because we had some torrential rains, especially Tuesday and Wednesday around the Triangle area, and that's depicted here on the field. There are some muddy spots all throughout the field here. What's really interesting is that these are two teams, again, that are built on speed. We don't see Southern Durham affected by field conditions very much. On the other hand, they've had some pretty good field positions and fine weather conditions to play on, regardless of whether it was the field turf over at Cardinal Gibbons or the turf that they play on here at Southern Durham High School. So we'll see how it affects things tonight.
And Jeff Hamlin once again from the sidelines where he will be all night. And Jeff, again, very familiar with this Orange High School team, as we are at WCHL, them having graced our Game of the Week coverage multiple times this season. 2 minutes and 50 seconds on the clock, and Jason Tudrin, nice crowd coming over here from Orange High School. They have packed the visiting grandstand, and that means a lot. That means a lot. You've had great support at Carrboro High School and home and on the road. It means a lot when you look behind you and you see all those hometown colors, doesn't it?
Yeah, Thanksgiving Day is special, especially that weekend when you get home. You'll have a lot of alumni in the stadium on that following Friday, and it's like almost a second homecoming if you get to host one. And obviously tonight both communities are coming out and strongly supporting both of these teams, and it should be a great football game.
Well, and it certainly should. Orange, of course, getting by Cleveland last week, 59-50. They jumped out early and then had to hold on as Cleveland threw everything they had at these Orange Panthers to try and get them out of the playoff situation. Tay Jones, 12 carries for 245 yards. He will be the main threat in the backfield along with Patrick Pettiford. Garrett Clower, outstanding job of managing games this year. You talk about the speed, the quickness, and the lightning capacity that is prescribed by Kendall Hinton for the Spartans. Garrett Clower is rock solid managing games. Of course, last week, Clower 12 of 22 for 233 yards. And his targets, he spread the ball around. Archel Stewart with four catches, Patrick Pettiford with four. Kai Muller, always his favorite target. Target had four catches for 101 yards, and the coin flip has been up in the air. And it will be the Spartans heading back to their side of the field, Orange heading back to their side of the field, and we're ready to go to war here, Jason Tudor. What's it like on the sideline now for a high school football coach in a game that's is going to be this competitive against a team really turning out to be in our tribal?
You just want to survive the first minutes. You're excited, the kids are excited, and you want to make sure there's no mistakes that could cost you later in the game, because after the first couple minutes, everyone kind of settles into a groove and you start play off your instincts, and the emotion kind of subsides, and all the hooting and the hollering and things like that will go by the wayside. So I think each coach wants to settle into a little bit of a groove here. It'll be real interesting to see. Southern, the first series of the game against Chapel Hill, fumbled the football, and they did the same last week against Cardinal Gibbons in the first series of the game. So it'll be really important not to have any quick turnovers to set the other team's offense up early.
Indeed, and we will get to the starting lineups as we have that opportunity. It was, again, Southern Durham coming in undefeated, the only team to take care of the Panthers this season, as Orange comes in with one loss and was just on the precipice of their first undefeated season and first opportunity for an undefeated season since the 70s. And back, of course, in the 70s, it was, guess who, the Southern Durham that decided to not let them have that undefeated season. You look at coming in here, Southern Durham, they have scored 630 points in 13 games, but they have given up 323. Again, they're not afraid to run and gun, and we'll just score more than you are. Orange comes in with 612 points on offense, but only 243 given up for this Orange defense. And, you know, the last 2 weeks, you know, between or actually the last week of the regular season and the last week and last week at Cleveland, that was about 100 right there. So, you know, this is a team that I think went the first eight games had given up 53 points.
And traditionally, they've been really good on defense. And as the playoffs have progressed, like you pointed out, they've had some weaknesses exposed. So it'll be really interesting to see how their secondary reacts, because I think the key other than defense is tonight, there's both quarterbacks. And Kendall Hinton and Garrett Klo are excellent field generals. And I think Garrett's done a great job this season at managing his team's offense. They are more of a run-orientated team. They do a lot of play action, and he does a great job of making solid decisions and not putting his team in a bad position. And Hinton is dynamic and with his feet as he is with his arm. So I think it'll be important for the Orange defense to tackle him. And each quarterback has to execute the game plan tonight.
Well, still a line out the door at the ticket counter. And if you are able to get down here, come on down. You're going to see a great one. The seats are going fast. If you can't, kick your feet up, grab yourself some hot cocoa, and, you know, shake off the tryptophan from the turkey and the red wine, and kick your feet back and listen to Jason Tudor and myself, along with Jeff Hamlin, call the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week. We are just about ready to go here. And, you know, Jason, the interesting thing about this Southern team is that, again, it's both sides of a coin here. They either come out and they're rock solid and they're ready to go and they jump on you fast and hard, or first 3 or 4 minutes they can fall asleep, as they did against Chapel Hill, and they gave Chapel Hill an opportunity to win this game. And, you know, look, you've got a team that's played 13 games now. What could you possibly tell them, Jason?
You can't fall asleep. If they're sleeping right now, then they don't deserve the win. And the same goes for Orange, because this is the elite eight, if you will, of this bracket, and they're two of those teams. So you're talking about the cream of the crop when it comes to high school football programs in the area. And you have to understand, you're going to lean on your senior class, and the senior class for Southern Durham, when it got a little sticky against Chapel Hill, were the ones that pulled them out of it and made it a runaway. And I think the seniors for Orange are going to have to do the same thing tonight with the Pettifords and the Clowers to be able to, the Kai Mullers, to be able to pull them out of some sticky situations. And the seniors that make plays in the final portion of this football game are the ones going to go home with a great memory.
Well, and memories will be made tonight. And, again, packing the house tonight. Southern Durham crowd a little late in arriving, but the Orange folks, boy, it seems like they've been here since just when the sun went down. They were ready and ready to roll. It's going to be an interesting competition once again. And you look at Southern Durham, they have scored a little over 17 and a little over 13 in the first two quarters average of each game. And we'll see which team comes out. Orange is more of a run-oriented offense, and they want to put the ball on the ground. They've scored just under 10 and just under 14 in the second quarter. So Orange will kick off, and it will be Brad Barbie set to kick it off. Orange moving from left to right on your radio dial, and it will be Barbie kicking off. Orange in the visiting white with orange numbers and orange helmets, kicking off from the 40-yard line. Back deep to receive at his 15-yard line will be Maurice Trowell. Barbie approaching the ball, kicks the 40, and it's an onside kick covered at the 48-yard line. And an excellent job covering that ball. As, Jason, that's something that we actually talked about in the game against Chapel Hill was, you know, the way this run back goes for this ability to run kicks back for Southern Durham goes, they're bringing the ball back to, almost midfield all the time. If you're going to give that up, why not kick the onside kick? Apparently somebody was listening.
Yeah, it looks like Orange is trying to jump out swinging uppercuts, if you will, to start this thing off.
Here's Hinton out of the pistol. Handoff straight through. Jordan Brown. Brown to the 50. Gains two, maybe a couple more. We'll see where they mark it. Bring up second down, but they go right to the ground on the little draw play on first down.
Jack LeMaster, the inside linebacker, number 51 for Orange, did an excellent job of not reading that cross motion action and stepping up in the hole.
And LeMaster, you will hear his name called more than once tonight. Here's Hinton. Slot left, slot right. Wide receivers to the left and right. Single setback. Picks up the late blitz. Pass intended for Derek Mason in the left flat. Incomplete. Zipped right through his hands, and you're going to see that a little bit tonight. No wind. Beautiful night, but it's a little chilly, and those receivers got to warm up early. It'll be up third down and 7.
I think that was an excellent job by the Orange defense. They gave a different look. They had Southern's pass protection diagnosed very well, and they brought six people, and they brought four off an edge with the LeMaster brothers, and they got in Hinton's face and caused him to throw the football high.
Nobody friendly back in the backfield with Hinton. He's got five receivers, three to the left, two to the right. Third down and seven. 11:30 remaining to play here in the first quarter. Whistle blows, and Southern Durham blinks first. They'd like to take the first timeout.
It's interesting to watch. Coach Mosard said earlier in the game that they were going to lay back and play a little bit softer coverage. They've lined up in man-to-man the last two plays, and Southern has zero backs in the backfield, so they're blitzing. They're coming after Southern right now.
Jeff Hamlin, the excitement is palpable from up here. What's it like down on the sidelines?
Well, I can't help but wonder, Paul, if Coach Moser for Orange decided to take a page out of Cleveland's book last week, because Cleveland tried five onside kicks against the Panthers. They worked one time. So I wonder if he saw that game tape and thought, why don't we surprise Southern Durham the way Cleveland surprised us?
Well, absolutely, and, you know, it's the same thing that actually Cedar Ridge tried to do against Orange after they got up early and were shooting for the upset. They tried the onside kick and were unsuccessful, but, you know, why not, especially with Trowell back there, you know, returning kicks, or Cameron back there returning kicks to midfield. You can't do any worse, and we'll see how Southern Durham does now on third down and seven with 11:30 to remaining to play. Here in the first quarter, you're listening to the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week alongside Jason Tudor and Jeff Hamlin down on the sidelines. This is Paul Cottle. 47-yard line. Five in the box. Call off the blitz. Two-step drop out of the shotgun. Throwing across the middle. And incomplete. Pass was intended. Pass was intended for a receiver coming across the middle. That was Jordan Brown. It was a beautifully thrown ball, but outstanding defensive coverage.
J.D. Brooks stepped in the middle of the field. Orange did a nice job disguising the blitz and then bailing out into playing a zone, and J.D. Brooks is right in the middle of the field and made a nice play on the football.
Well, I'll tell you that not much in the way of kicking. No fans of the punting game of Southern Durham. They're going for it on fourth and seven. At the 47-yard line, going to throw into the right flat. Pass is caught and then dropped. And there is no flag on the play. Pass intended there for Maurice Trowell. Trowell with a nice little out. And, you know, Jason, he had that one right on the numbers. That's the second drop now for Kendall Hinton's receiving crew.
I think Orange is putting their best on their best, and they put Patrick Pettiford over there in press coverage on Marcus Trowell. And Hinton said, we didn't care, and he just threw the ball over there anyways. He was basically double covered, and he had people open in the seam. So great job on Orange by Orange stepping up on defense, getting the ball here at midfield.
11-19, ready to play in the first quarter. Panthers come to the table first. Kai Muller out to the left-hand side. Artrell Stewart to the right. Single setback, Michael Bolton. Run of that double slot. Handoff goes left side. Bolden carrying it in the right hand. He's got running room. 10, 15, over the 40-yard line. Knocks a man down, and he is out to the 35-yard line. It's a gain of 18 yards on first down, and it's first and 10 for Orange at the 35-yard line.
He's the hammer to their offense. He's a 250-pound running back. He went off the left side, and he had a long way to go, and he punished a couple people along the way. Excellent run by Bolden.
Now, Bolden goes off tackle left, but he's carrying that ball in his right hand, and he's had a little trouble holding on to the ball this year. In fact, two fumbles on the goal line against Cedar Ridge. Bolden in the backfield. Got that read option. Option, left to right. Here comes Patrick Pettiford. Pettiford, that one a little slow to develop. He'll barely make it back to the line of scrimmage. And he's knocked down on the play by a Christian Howes, the 5'9", 250-pound defensive tackle, was able to string that one out.
Nice job by the Southern defense, especially on the perimeter, because they were trying to crack down the wide receiver on the edge to get to the corner. And the outside linebacker for Southern did a great job of fighting off that double team.
Second running play, that one, of course, to Pettiford. Pettiford now the single man in the backfield. They go into that single slot now. Michael Bolden, single slot to the left side. Kai Muller and Tay Jones out wide to the left. Artrell Stewart to the right. Looking over the defense now, Garrett Clower. Clower with a long count. Pitch, left side. Patrick Pettiford looking for room. Can't find it. Tries to cut it up just inside the left hash mark. He finds no running room there. And this defense for Southern Durham stops Patrick Pettiford. No gain, still at the 35-yard line. And, you know, with a team that's got this much defensive speed, or team speed in general, your plays have to develop a lot quicker than that, Jason.
I think they've got to go at them a little bit more. They're trying to go around them, and I think Southern's team speed is too much right now on the perimeter for Orange.
Well, and I think what you see for Orange is, you know, Michael Bolden had the answer right away. Look, run straight ahead, find a hole, hit it, and keep going. Michael Bolden now third and 10. Single setback. Got two in the slot, left and right. Straight drop, five steps, plants his foot, throws right side, incomplete. Knocked down in the left flat, was intended for Patrick Pettiford, but good gosh, he was wide open at the 22.
He had Pettiford open, and then he had looked like he had the receiver number 15 straight down the field, which was
Kai Muller.
Kai Muller is his number one target, so good job trying to hit the underneath man. Great job by the flat defender by Southern.
Neither one of these teams big fans of punting, especially when they get the ball in the defensive half. So the ball fourth and 10 on the 35-yard line after Southern goes three and out. Orange with a first down. Then they go three zeros. Again, double slot. Michael Bolden behind the quarterback. Play action. Rolls to his right. Ooh, big trouble. Going to step up in the pocket. His forward. Got a man open way down the middle. Kai Muller, touchdown. Talk about manufacturing time. That was a Ben Roethlisberger special. He took five steps, play action, turned, avoided the defensive end, steps up in the pocket. His receiver keeps going, and Kai Muller catches the score from his favorite quarterback. That's his favorite target. 35 yards in the air, Kai Muller all alone. Somebody just lost him at the goal line.
That's Orange's favorite play in play action. They'll pull the offensive guard and the tackle and away from the play action, so it looks like it's a run. It was fourth and 10. It was bad discipline by the Southern secondary because they were going to throw the football, and Garrett Clower did a great job of keeping the play alive, and the safety came up in the middle of the field, thought it was run, and they threw it over his head to his number one receiver and Kai Muller. So what a great job of execution by the quarterback. Poor discipline by the Southern defense.
Brad Barbie swings that big left foot and makes it 7-0. The Orange Panthers are playing right off the bus, Jason Tudrin, and this is what Pat Moser wanted to see. He wanted to see a defensive stop, a quality defensive stop, which they got, and they want to see him march down the field and hit that big play. And there's nobody that's hit more big plays for the Panthers this year than that duo of Garrett Clower and Kai Muller. Jeff Hamlin.
Well, certainly, Paul, you're absolutely right when it comes to Kai, because he is the premier long-range threat. Now, it's interesting for Orange. They lost Joe Piscatelli at midseason during the Northwood game because he suffered a broken wrist. He did not return to action until the regular season finale. And where Piscatelli left off, Kai Muller picked up. He has turned into the favorite target for Garrett Clower, and that's 35 touchdown passes on the year now for Garrett Clower.
Thank you, Jeff Hamlin. And again, Kai Muller, he has been the man all year when the Panthers have needed a big play and have needed somebody to come up with the, you know, the momentum builder that they just haven't been able to create, whether it be all game or early. That tandem of Clower to Kai Muller has been able to do it. And lining up, no secret here, it is Brad Barbie. They're lining up in the onside kick formation. They have nine to the right, Archell Stewart to the left, and they do a little pooch kick to the 20-yard line. Cameron receives the ball at the 17, drops it at the 15. He's going to go back up the field right side, finds a little running room at the 20, and then that's immediately cut off. That defensive unit of Artrell Stewart comes down all alone on the left-hand side. Talk about a guy that had to stay in his lane. He was all alone there, Jason Tudor, and they stop Cameron at the 20-yard line. It'll be first and 10 for Southern Durham.
Orange is doing a good job of changing things up on the special teams. They've got Southern special teams unit on their heels with the surprise onside kick to start the game. Then they lined up their whole kickoff team with the exception of Stewart to the right side of the field, and they kicked it deep, and they swarmed them inside the 20-yard line. So this is a big stand right now for big opportunity for Orange to keep them pinned back here.
Kendall Hinton, get on track, came out, was not able to get a first down. Four in the box, spread out Orange defense. Play action, rolls to the right. LeMaster can't sack him there, rolls to the left now, and passes complete at the 30-yard line, and there's an outstanding reception by Maurice Trowell. Trowell, that one will be good for about 11 yards, and it'll be their first down. But, boy, Maurice Trowell gets hot, and it's going to change a lot of defensive schemes.
I think an area of concern for Southern right now is that their offensive line has given up pressure in every snap, basically. And Orange's defense is doing a really good job of disguising where they're going to bring their pressure from. And they've got Hinton moving around pretty well right now.
Well, they're playing three down linemen and four linebackers. Now they bring up some different schemes. Is Hinton straight ahead, draw play, right up the middle. This one goes to Jordan Brown. And, you know, they said that Trowell actually came back to catch that ball. They only gave him 8 yards on that catch, made it second down and two. Trowell picks up about four, let's call it five, on that draw play. And that's the first down for the Spartans this evening. So with 8:30 remaining to play here in the first quarter, 7-0 in favor of the Panthers. A 35-yard hookup from Garrett Clower to Kai Muller, and it's 7-0 Panthers. Late blitz, LeMaster can't get there in time. Screen pass, Jordan Brown catches it at the 35, up to the 40. Pushed out of bounds, just shy of the 45-yard line. Call it the 43. It'll be a gain of, it's going to be close to a first down. In fact, they're going to give it to him. Let's call it 11, and it's a second first down. That little bubble screen, nice patience there by Hinton.
And once again, ours has been traditionally a 4-4 defense, and they've lined up this series in a 3-3-5. And really what that it does is it disguises where your fourth rusher is going to be at all times. You can't just line up and see him coming. And right now they're doing a great job of getting pressure. They just got to pick it up on the secondary side of things to be able to contain Southern's offense.
Slot left, slot right, single setback behind Hinton. Two steps out of the shotgun, throws left side to the big man. Kerry Ivory, 6 foot, 170. The senior is there. Just get a nice little parallel pattern, parallel to his quarterback, nice little shallow pattern coming and dragging across the middle of the field, catches the ball and goes for 9 yards.
That's a good way to help your pass protection, because if you're not getting great protection, you change the timing of your release. And that time it was a quick catch for the snap, and it was a quick delivery by Hinton to get the ball out before the orange rush could get there.
Anthony Creasy trying to mix it up here in the second possession, the offensive coordinator for the Spartans. Same set, going long, right side, got a man, hauls it in. Caught at the 20-yard line and rolling down to the 11. That's Maurice Trowell. So Maurice Trowell catches himself a 36-yard bomb from Kendall Hinton. Boy, how about that off of two steps?
I tell you right now, what Orange has come out in the game and said, they're going to line up Patrick Pettiford in a press defense against Maurice Trowell, and they're going to try to see what they can do with it. Maurice just ran him down the field, and it'll be interesting what type of effect this has on Orange's offense, because right now Pettiford's chasing Trowell all over the field.
Pettiford and Trowell. Mason, left side here with Archrell Stewart. Handoff goes straight ahead. Be a gain of about four. That's Jordan Brown with his second carry, actually his third carry of the game. And Jordan Brown able to gain, let's call it five, and brings up second and five from the 6 yard line. They can get a first just outside the goal line. So second and five from the five, 7:09 remaining to play. Handoff once again, Jordan Brown straight ahead. And he's going to get a couple more. He'll be close to the first down as he split the difference. Looks like he gets to about the two and needs to gain about three and bring up third down now. And, again, third down and, well, there should be third down and about one. Third and one. Handoff once again. Straight ahead. And in goes Jordan Brown. So the Spartans say, well, if you're going to play three men on the line, you know, we have pretty good confidence in our offensive line. We're going to run it right up Broadway and make you stop us. And they run Jordan Brown. Three straight carries. Jordan Brown gets in three carries from 11 yards out, and it's 7-6. And, you know, you have the Spartans now proving that they have a little bit of a running game as well.
No, it was really just what we were talking about before the game about how seniors step up and make plays for you. And Maurice Trowell right there makes a huge, a really nice catch. It was a heck of a pass by Hinton down the sidelines versus Pettiford, but he did catch it and bobble it a little bit, get the ball inside the 10-yard line, and that ended up being the deal breaker for him because they ran it three times straight at Orange the next series and ended up scoring here. So great answer and good team's answer this time of year. You know, Orange came out aggressive, and now Southern comes back and answers here very early in the or midway through this first quarter.
Well, they line up for the extra point for the kick, and there's going to be encroachment against the Panthers as somebody lined up in the neutral zone. And we've seen that a number of times this year where teams just getting very anxious, especially on extra points, and they're creeping up. So they will put him half the distance here, and it will be Leonardo Orozco lining up for the kick. Now, he missed two. He missed two extra points last week against Cardinal Gibbons. So, again, and the poor snap, good hold. Orozco able to pop this one up through the uprights. And just an outstanding job of grabbing that snap by Jeremy Griffiths. And Griffiths able to kind of reach up and grab that one, put it down on the ground. And Orozco did not miss a step as he knocks that one through the uprights. And it's 7-7 at 6:40 remaining to play here in the first quarter. So, again, the Panthers strike first, strike big. A 35-yard hookup from Garrett Clower to Kai Muller. And the Spartans answer right back, come back 75 yards in nine plays. And Jordan Brown, three plays, three runs from 11 yards, capping it with a two-yard run to tie this thing at seven. Jeff Hamlin, what do you think?
Well, Kendall Hinton really showed his range that time, and he's a very mentally tough young man. Just last week he received a scholarship offer from NC State. We've seen Duke coaches who obviously don't have to drive very far here in Durham to catch up with him. They've already offered Kendall Hinton, and he showed his mental toughness there. Three straight incompletions on the first drive led to an orange touchdown. He looked for Brown, and of course he looked for his main weapons on that touchdown drive, and it led to the score.
7-7, 6:40 remaining to play here in the first quarter. And it has been more of a thinking man's game than you would think. We were expecting a real track meet. And here's Orozco, ready to tee it up at the 40. Line drive kick. It's going to take a hop, and it'll be fielded at the 11-yard line. Tate Jones in a little running room. Don't want to give him that. Little grab of the face mask, no call. Gang tackled, still on his feet, carrying the pile over the 35, gets to the 37, 38-yard line. He's a little slow to get up, as it looked like he caught a finger inside the face mask there, Jason.
He scrapped and clawed for every yard he got right there, but he is walking around a little gingerly right now. It'll be interesting to see if he gets the ball early in this drive.
Well, and I'll tell you, that's the thing, though, that you really have to watch if you're a running back or a receiver here against this this defense for Southern Durham, because they like, if you want to get those extra yards, they like to stand you up, they like to gang tackle. While two of them are trying to bring you to the turf, the other one's trying to strip the ball, and they've been pretty darn successful. Here comes Garrett Clower. He's at the 38-yard line, first and 10, 6:30 remaining to play here for the Panthers. Single slot, right side. Tay Jones out of the eye. Here's Patrick Pettiford. Inside, outside, finds the edge, turns it up, puts his foot in the ground, and it will be Patrick Pettiford. He's going to get 11 yards on this, Jason. And, you know, that's the kind of hard-hitting run with a lead block and a quick snap that the Panthers are going to be more successful with against this defensive unit.
They lined up with two backs in the backfield in an I formation. They didn't do that in the first series, and they got Bolden out leading on the front form on the off-tackle sweep, and it ended up being a big run for Pettiford.
Right to midfield, gain of 12, 6:20 remaining to play here in the first quarter. We're locked up at 7. Garrett Clower, Kai Muller, 35 yards in the air after a beautiful job of extending the play. And again, Clower able to hit his favorite target to make it 7-0. And just moments ago, Jordan Brown in from 2 yards to make it 7-all. Here we are with the that double slot left side. Handoff straight ahead, Michael Bolden. Bolden did a really good job there. It was an awkward handoff. It was belt high instead of a chest high. And Michael Bolden, who's had his share of knocks this year and put the ball on the ground a number of times, able to gather that one in. And we're going to call it a kind of a long two, make it second down and 8. But you like to see that from Bolden.
Yeah, absolutely. That's like a body blow in a heavyweight fight. It's a little body blow, a 3-4 yard run. It keeps the defense honest, so they can really want to do is get the ball to the outside.
Well, here's Clower back to the line. Second down and 8, 5:20 remaining to play here in the first quarter. Out of the eye, single slot left side. Has receivers to the left and right. Going to throw a quick slant to Archrell Stewart. He's got it to 40. Now the 35, tackled from behind and brought down at the 30-yard line. Great job by Clover to take one step and throw that dart to Archrell Stewart.
That was a dart. And really, you know, as far as what Orange does on offense sometimes, they'll double call plays. They'll, like, run, look pass. They'll look to the sideline. A coach will signal something in. And Archrell Stewart widened his alignment by about 2 or 3 steps there right before the snap to give him a little bit more grass inside. And that window opened up nice for him as Clore hit him in stride for a big play.
17-yard catch, Archrell Stewart. Stewart caught that one about 11 yards and made 6 more himself. Clore back to the line, surveying the defense in front of him. 4 down linemen for the Spartans. 4 linebackers. Pitch, left side, Tay Jones. Bounces outside, finds a little room. You know, he's got 5 once more and dragged down just shy of the sideline. And once again, Tay Jones a little slow to get up on that one. as he's turning and twisting. You know, you try and get those extra yards, but, you know, that one play is not worth, an exit of the game. It'll be a gain of six and bring up second down and four. And, boy, here's where Garrett Clower and his receivers are very, very dangerous.
They've really done a good job running the football on this drive. So right now play action's a good timing play for them because they've got Southern's defense on their heels. They're definitely the aggressor right now.
4 minutes, 10 seconds remaining to play here in the first quarter. 7-all, Panthers, Spartans. Who moves on to the fourth round of the North Carolina High School Athletic Association playoffs? Out of the eye, slot, right side, receivers to the left and right, handoff straight through, goes to Patrick Pettiford. There's a flag on the play. Pettiford still on his feet, 15-10, knocked down about the five-yard line, but there's a flag down back at the 15, and oh boy, when it's that quick, it's usually a hold. But let's see what it is. Indeed, it is a hold because there was a big hole there for Patrick Pettiford to run through.
That was an old-school isolation play. They ran behind big Mr. Michael Bolden on a little B-gap iso play. Got the ball down inside the five, but it looked like there was a holding play off the left side of the offensive line and got that thing pulled back a little bit.
But you like the fact that Orange is now realizing, and again, it's going to back him up 10 from the spot of the foul. And they're going to call it, just over the line of scrimmage. So it will negate. It will negate that beautiful run by Pettiford, and bring up. Should be first down, and let's call it 16. It'll be on the 36-yard line. Need to get to the 20 for the first down. But I'll tell you what, I'd run that play to Pettiford again.
Absolutely,
you can get that kind of hole. But nope, Bolden single setback. Tay Jones in the slot to the right. Two receivers wide to the right side. Clara wants a throw. Backs up five steps. Looks out in the near flat. Here's Tay Jones. A lot of running room. Ducks inside. He's to the 20. Now the 15. Twist, turn. Two tacklers. Now three. They crumple him over, and he is knocked down at the 12-yard line. Tay Jones has touched the ball three times and taken a beating all three times. But this time he goes from the line of scrimmage at the 36-yard line down to the 15. Let's call it the... Well, they're going to give it to him at the 11-yard line. So it'll be an outstanding gain of 25 yards.
That was a heck of a catch by Jones. The ball was high. He got down with it and had nice two receivers out leading, blocking for him. It was a great play-action pass. And when you can run the football, you can fake the run and then pass it. And that's what Orange is doing a great job right now. They're really dictating the tempo of this football game.
Panthers first down and 10 on the 11. Here's Clower. He's got two receivers wide to the left-hand side. Man in the slot. Bolden, lead block. Sweep, left side, Tay Jones. And Tay Jones, oh boy, they're going to bend him over and twist him around. Five tacklers there to get all over Tay Jones. He's going to be slow getting up once again. But, you know, I think that Orange, again, they're not really learning the lesson here. When the plays are too slow to develop, doesn't matter how many blockers they have out in front of them, they're not getting back to the line of scrimmage.
That was an unbalanced formation, so I think the whole stadium knew they had four wide receivers to that side of the field and a tight wing, and I think the whole stadium knew they were going to run the ball to the outside right there. I think you're exactly right, Paul. I think they got to go right at them with that big fullback and getting that eye formation to help them out moving the football down the field here.
Tay Jones very slow back to the line of scrimmage. He'll be slot right. Pettiford slot left. Bolden's the only back in the backfield. It'll be second down now and 13 for Clower. Play clock runs down to 4-3. Quick snap, three-step drop. He's looking across the middle, left side. He's got Kai Muller. Muller catches the ball at the 10, knocked out of bounds at the 9-yard line. And Kai Muller, you know, you have that chemistry between quarterback and receiver. He knows just where to go on the field, and Clover knows just when to throw it to him. But Garrett Clover is doing a great job. We mentioned it before about managing this game. You know, here's a kid where he doesn't have Hinton's speed and he doesn't have Hinton's arm. He certainly has all the tools, and you don't say, well, go win the game for me, son. But what you do say is go out there, play your game, and don't lose it. And he's managed this game magnificently
thus
far. That
was really good because early in the drive they hit Stewart, so they've got good balance with Stewart on one side of the field and Clover on the other, and Clover ran a really good whip route when she fakes to the inside at about 5 yards and then spins his body to the outside at an out route, and Clover hit him in stride to get about 10 or 11 yards here to make this third and manageable here inside the 10-yard line.
Indeed, he does get 10 yards. It'll be third down and let's call it five. So third and five from just inside the nine. 2 minutes remaining to play here in the first quarter. It has not been the track meet that we expected. 7-all. Both these teams coming out and saying, we can play a little bit of defense too. Double slot. Run that read option. Single setback, Bolden. Three-step drop. Quick pop pass. And wow. pop of the pass and a pop of the pads right at the goal line. That pass was caught, and then Kai Muller had that ball separated from his chest. That was just an outstanding hit by the defensive back on the play. It looked like Marvin Tillman came over from his free safety spot and absolutely leveled his opposite number in Kai Muller.
That was a great pass, great timing, and Tillman came over and made a great play coming from the opposite side of the field, reading the ball thrown, seeing the ball thrown, and saved his team potentially 4 points here.
Now here's it's going to be fourth down and five, and Brad Barbie's going to come on, the lefty. Going to try and knock this one through from 25 yards. Ball's down on the 15, long count, snap. Kick is up, and it is good. Just inside the right upright. Referees conferred. They looked up, saw that one go inside the shoulder. And that, my friend, could really be the difference in this ballgame. Not that particular play, but the fact that Brad Barbie, he's good from pretty much anywhere inside of 35. And, you know, the special teams for Orange, we mentioned, they have an advantage there. So the score now 10-7 with 1:55 remaining to play in the first quarter. Let's go on down to Jeff Hamlin. Jeff, we got these Panthers up 3 points.
Well, I think one thing, Paul, to keep apprised of as we go through the course of this game is the fact that Orange wants to have long drives. Why? Because they want to keep the Southern Durham offense off the field. I don't think any team can really outscore Southern Durham if you're talking about a 56-50 type game. But if Orange can keep Southern's offense off the field, give them maybe 8-9 drives tops during the course of this game, then chances are there's a good opportunity. Orange will have a much better chance to win than the previous contest between these two teams 3 weeks ago.
Well, and Jeff, if you look at the game that they played previously, you know, the one thing that Orange was unable to do was establish the running game early. And then the second thing that they were unable to do was hold on to the ball. So far, they've done a great job. We saw Bolden hold on when he got hit there. They're not turning the ball over. They're not making mistakes. And they've been able to run. Looking for the onside kick again. Here's Brad Barbie. And he does. Big hop at midfield and great hands. Great hands by the up man. Came up, swatted that one with a big one hand, and that was Cameron Johnson. So Cameron Johnson, you know, usually finds himself in the backfield or a little deeper than that. They bring him up to the front line. Cameron Johnson looked like he was going up grab a rebound off the glass.
It's the third different look that they've given on the onside kick, and two out of the three have not been successful. The third one, first one, they went down deep with it and had him pinned inside the 20. So that was a risk right there and a gamble. Maybe we'll see if it'll pay off here for Orange.
Hinton facing six in the box. Three steps out of the shotgun. Throws a little pick route. Goes to Maurice Trowell. Trowell catches the ball right at the line of scrimmage of the 50. He goes over the 45 to the 41-yard line to be a complete for 9 yards. And now second down and one. But, you know, here's the thing that you got to watch on that is talk about that pick play and the legal and illegal points of that when we come after this next play, Jason Tudor. Full house backfield. One to the left, one to the right. Fake the handoff. Jordan Brown goes left side. First carry for William Cameron on the little counter play. And Cameron really can't find a whole lot of running room, but he does have enough to get a first down. He'll pick up two. It'll go across the 40-yard line to the 39.
So in that screen play, they're doing a great job of recognizing how the fact that they really can't block Orange's front right now. So they're changing the release point. That ball has to be caught behind or at the line of scrimmage while they have the offensive line all running to the right side and getting that ball in about a 10-yard pass to Maurice Trowell and getting him the field with space and lead blockers is an excellent decision by a Southern.
Two left, two right. Kendall Hinton, he wants to go downtown. Ball is upstairs, thrown past the 20, intended for Derek Mason, and Mason can't run under this one. Thrown a little too hard, a little too high, but out there on coverage is Joe Piscitelli. And Piscitelli, you know, they're so glad to have him back because they need that speed in the defensive backfield. You'll remember when they played Dante DiMaggio, the receiver at Cardinal Gibbons, they put a number of speedy offensive players out there on defense, and it worked. So Piscitelli guarding now. And then we go back to the single coverage. It'll be Bradshaw on coverage here, left side. Pass is complete to Maurice Trowell. Trowell finds a little room in the flat, ran a little hook, came back and helped his quarterback. And it will be they're going to measure this one. It's going to be very close to a first down. But you really saw the chemistry there between Maurice Trowell and his quarterback Hinton. He knew just when to come back, just when to help him, and the ball was in the air before he turned.
And what they're doing with the offense is that Orange is lining up both of their cornerbacks in press coverage on the widest receivers that Southern lines up with, and they got Piscatelli on one side of the field against Mason, and they've used Pettiford for most of the game on trial. Right now they've got A.J. Bradshear in the game, and he was the guy that they went at in that specific case. And Trial's a great player, so they're going to have to keep recycling and changing up the looks, because I'm not sure they're going to be able to stay in press coverage the whole game against a player like Trial.
By inches, Maurice Trowell. Well, they're moving the sticks, but the referees have yet to make a determination. 58.3 remaining to play in this first quarter. It has been a dandy. Paul Conn along with Jason Tuger. Listen to the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week. 97.9 FM, 1360 AM, and streaming live at chapelboro.com. Happy to have you with us, and a happy Thanksgiving to all of our listening audience out there, and to you, my friend, and a happy Hanukkah as well. A big, big holiday weekend, lots of food, lots of festivities, and we're happy to be bringing you the third round of the North Carolina High School Athletic Association Championships. And this is part due. This is the battle that everyone has been waiting for, the return battle. Of course, the Southern Spartans able to take away Orange's opportunity for an undefeated season in the last regular season game of the North Carolina Big 8 Conference regular season. Convincingly so, 51-44. Handoff, Hinton, right off the middle. Orange, not fooled.
Looks like there's a late flag.
Could be a face mask. But, you know, the guy who's in there to really stop up the middle when Orange needs the middle stopped. And, you know, that's your old friend Mark Holt. It is indeed a face mask against the Panthers. And this one's going to hurt. It really will, because, you know, you could see that the Spartans were gathering a little momentum, but you don't need to help them out that much.
They had them stopped, too, and we're going to bring up a fourth down. And Southern doesn't really have the component to their offense to be able to really go at you, and as Orange has done in this game tonight. So that was a huge mistake right there, because gets the ball down first down about the 15-yard line here for Southern.
And indeed, Southern now will have a first down, and it's going to bring the ball inside the red zone now to the 15-yard line, where it'll be first and 10, 45 seconds and counting. Backs to his left and right, out of the shotgun, three more steps, hit and fires an absolute fastball to the five, and J.D. Brooks is there to separate Maurice Trowell from the ball. And, boy, we have seen some great hitting, some great coverage in the defensive backfield, and it was J.D. Brooks saving a touchdown there.
He had four Orange defenders around him, and Hinton stuck the ball in a very tight window, and Brooks and LeMaster did a great job of making the collision to have that thing drawn out.
Back at second and 10 from the 15, 40.9. Clock stop, starts again. Three steps. Hinton going to take it himself. Past Holt. Holt actually chases him down from the backside with a little bit of help from LeMaster. And a gain of five by Kendall Hinton brings up now third down and five. What a great job by Mark Holt of staying home and camping out, blocking up that middle. Holt, you know, we call him the soda machine at 5'6", 215. And just does a great job of blocking up that middle and made Hinton stay honest.
They're moving him all over the field. Now he's lined up at defensive end.
Third and four, Hinton. Fake the straightaway. Throws right side. Has a man at the five. No call from the official. It's going to be a complete pass, screen pass. And a knockdown coming out of the backfield just shy of the goal line. That will be William Cameron. So Cameron able to catch that one out of the backfield right at the line of scrimmage and knocked out of bounds just shy of the goal line. In fact, it looks like they're going to have him at about the one. And with less than a second remaining to play, they will put the clock back in motion, and that will be the end of the first quarter. And with the end of the first quarter, we're going to take a break. You're listening to the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week. The Orange Panthers coming back for redemption and revenge. They got it by three at the end of one frame, 10-7. Come on back. Woo!
There's nothing better than the refreshing taste of a Cruiser's ice cold fountain drink. I'm Edward Holmes, president of Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace. At Cruiser's, we use 100% filtered water for the highest quality fountain drinks and serve them at an ice cold 34 degrees for only 79 cents. So grab your favorite drink with their chewy ice and add a flavor shot like cherry or lemon lime at most Cruiser's locations. You'll taste the difference. We guarantee it.
Cruiser's. Good to go.
Thanks for coming back. Alongside Jason Tudrin, Paul Connell with the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week, and the Arch Panthers up 10-7. But with their backs on their own doorstep. End of the first quarter, 10-7. Ready to start that second 12-minute frame. Quickly down to Jeff Hamlin.
We'll see what the Southern Durham offensive line has to offer here. It looks like they're going to leave Cameron out of the game here, but they've been relying more and more on their run over the last few plays, Paul.
Full house backfield. Pistol back left. One right behind Hinton. Handoff. Jordan Brown. Excellent penetration. There's Bryce Wilson. Wondered if he would play and how well he would play. We saw it right there. Set him up at end. He comes off the edge, and he catches Jordan Brown for a let's call it a one-yard loss. Brings it back to the two-yard line. It'll be second down and goal from the two. Orange. Pack in the freezer. Three down linemen. Four down linemen. Four linebackers in tight. Pitch, right side. They're going to string it out. They're going to get Jordan Brown again. They're going to get him back at the five. Outstanding job. Kai Muller came up. Bryce Wilson is there. Just a tremendous job there by the Orange defense as they were able to string that out. They just read it so well, Jason.
I tell you, Jack LeMaster did a nice job of pinning him into the boundary as well. That was an interesting call by Southern. Then they ran toss sweep into the short side of the field, and Orange was sitting on it. And they have not. Southern has not been able to run the football very successfully tonight, and the field is really squeezed here now with the ball being on the five-yard line, so they're becoming a little bit more predictable.
Ran right into the open arms of Byron Stevenson, 6'3", 260, not where you want to go. Unbalanced, right side, fake the handoff, pressure, throw left flat. Kendall Hinton throws it at the ankles of his receiver, Maurice Trowell. But again, great pressure by Bryce Wilson. Came in on a straight blitz, and when Kendall Hinton turned around, he had a face full of number 10.
It was really good discipline by Wilson. It was third down and long. It was a fake run to the right. He didn't have to fall for that fake because it knew it wasn't his job. His job was to keep Hinton in the pocket, and he made him throw the ball earlier than he wanted to, and it was underthrown, causing the incomplete pass. So good team discipline right there by the Orange defense.
And this is a victory for Orange. Whether Orozco is able to kick this field goal or not, this is a victory for Orange, making Hinton come off the field. But here's Orozco. He's going to tee it up on the right hash mark with 11:02 remaining to play here in the second quarter. He'll tee it up from the 13. So it's a 23-yard field goal. Hold is up. Kick is up. This one splits the uprights, and we got ourselves another tie ball game. 10 apiece at 10:57. And the Orange defense, they bend but they don't break. And of all the defensive, the two different defensive stands they've had against the Spartans, that really had to be their defense there from the 15 on in had to be the most impressive we've seen them in probably three games.
Absolutely. You know, you think about where they started that drive. The Orange gave them the ball at about the 50-yard line with the failed onside kick. And they had to complete a third down play in short where they had a short run that was called with a face mask that gave them a first down. So it was really a couple of unforced errors in that situation there. Gave Southern good field position down inside the 10-yard line and ultimately gave the field goal.
Getting ready to tee it up will be Orozco once again. This is the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week. Jeff Hamlin down patrolling the sidelines. Paul Connell along with Jason Tudrin up top the box here at Southern Durham on an absolutely beautiful Thanksgiving weekend. And once again, happy Hanukkah, happy Thanksgiving to our listeners. And if you can't make it to Southern Durham, and there are very few seats left, especially on the Orange sideline, and folks still coming into the game, kick your feet up. We'll bring you all the action right here. 10:57 remaining to play here in the second quarter. 10-10 as Orozco has kicked a field goal and tied it up for Southern Durham. Here's a traditional kick. Long kick going to be fielded. At the 8-yard line, Kai Muller going to come right back up Broadway, and he's tripped up at the 20-yard line, had a little bit of running room. But Jordan Brown came down there and was able to reach out and touch that ankle. And it will be Garrett Clower bringing the Panthers out to the 22-yard line. Jeff Hamlin. Well, the technical difficulties getting a hold of Jeff. We'll catch him the next time we have a break in the action. Clower comes out of the eye. This has been very successful thus far for the Panthers. He has Tay Jones slot right. Archrell Stewart wide left. Out of the eye. Clower, long count. Tay Jones in motion. They're going to throw to Tay Jones. Screen pass left side. That one tipped at the line of scrimmage. Catches it on the short hop, but it is an incomplete pass. Stop the clock. Make it second and 10 with 10:49 remaining to play here in this second quarter. And it'll be the Panthers trying to maintain a little momentum here. They've hit a little bit of a hiccup as the adrenaline has worn off here, and now they have to pick it back up once again. Panthers in the home white with orange uniforms, orange numbers, orange helmets, moving from right to left on your radio dial here in the second quarter. And the gray uniforms with crimson numbers for the Southern Spartans, undefeated. Double slot. Five-step drop. Now two more. Clower steps up in the pocket, going to take it himself. Gets a block downfield from Archrell Stewart. And at the 20-yard line, across the 25, get out to the 30. Great job by Garrett Clower of realizing that he had a lane to run there. He picks up 9 yards. Let's call it eight and bring up second down and two. Got a great block downfield by Archrell Stewart.
He really did. You know, he had four receivers running vertical down the field. There was nothing there. It was all covered. Instead of just throwing the ball up, having an incomplete pass or a turnover, tucked it down and got 8 yards, make this third and two here. And a big drive, big play here in this game.
So slot left. Big Michael Bolden. Single setback. Patrick Pettifer. Stewart, Tay Jones, wide to the left side. Bolden goes in motion to the left. Stops in the right slot. And it will be a delay of game against the Panthers. That one just took a little too long to develop, and this is the second time, once on defense when they had that face mask, and now in this delay of game where the Panthers have killed themselves here with penalties. That's their fourth penalty of the game.
That was one of those situations where they were looking to the sideline to try to get in the ideal play call, and it took a little too long because they flipped Bolden from the left side of the field to the right side of the field, and when he did that, the play clock expired to make it now third and eight.
Panthers only penalized an average of 60 yards of penalties a game all season. Here's Garrett Clower, long count, five-step drop, plants his foot at the 17, looking downfield, now he's in trouble, gets a block, rolls to his right, has a man at the original line of scrimmage, Kai Muller. Muller hit at the first down mark at about the 31. It got him back to the original line of scrimmage before the 5-yard penalty, and he tried to get over the 31, close to that first down yardage. It's going to be very close, and we may have to measure this one. But what a great job once again by Clower to extend that play and then throw the ball where only Kai Muller could catch it.
And it was one of those plays, again, where they ran four verticals down the field, and Muller did a great job with his feet getting out of the pocket, going to his strong side with his right arm, going to the right side of the field, and Muller did a great job of coming back to the first down stick. So he stuck his route deep down the field, and he ran back to where the first down would be, and he put it right on him. It looks like they're going to be about 6 inches short here, and it'll be an interesting call in Coach Moser's hands here with about a fourth and 6 inches.
Take a quick look at the measurement, but let's go down to Jeff Hamlin real quick.
Part of the first down here, Muller got knocked back, and the forward progress actually was probably a good 2 feet ahead of where he actually was. Orange, if anything, got a good spot out of that, even though they're still short of the first down.
And it is going to be short and not by much. So this a big play here for the Panthers, because you know, the fact that it is really only about, you know, 6 inches, but it's still, you know, this is a key play in their own end, Jason Tudor, and they have shown that they have the ability to run the ball, and they're going to come back right out of that power eye, going back to the old timey Big Ten here.
Absolutely, this is the only success they've had in offense running the ball is when they've been between the tackles.
Two receivers to the right-hand side in the slot to the right. Out of the eye. Long count. Stack in the box. Clover going to take it himself. Stuck it in. Twist. Turn. Gets out to the 34-yard line. And Garrett Clover, just an outstanding job. And he has really done, again, just a tremendous job managing this game as it'll be first and 10 from their own 34-yard line. But most importantly for Orange, the clock continues to tick at 9:35.
Absolutely. 6'3", 205-pound junior quarterback. He should be able to get 6 inches from under center, and he did easily there.
Absolutely. Archrell Stewart now breaking the huddle. He'll come out wide to the near side. Ball on the right hash mark. 9:24 remaining to play here in the second quarter. 10-10 in the third round of the North Carolina High School Athletic Association playoffs. Single setback, Michael Bolden. Slot right. Two receivers to the right side. Handoff goes to Bolden. He's got a little running room. He's over the 35 to the 40. Tripped up. He'll be down at the 42-yard line, but that is really, that's such a dangerous weapon when he's effective because you can't stop speed and you can't teach size.
That's absolutely correct. And once again, they're having success when they run the football in between the tackles with either Bolden, Pettiford, or Jones, with Bolden being the lead blocker. Let's see if they continue that theme here because they are definitely the more physical team here tonight.
Ball's on the 42-yard line. It'll be a pickup of 7 by Bolden. Bring up second down and 3 with 8:40 remaining to play here in the second quarter, and the score knotted at 10. Garrett Clower managing the game very effectively. Neither team has made a huge mistake. No turnovers yet. Clower, handoff, Bolden, right up the gut. Bounces out to the right hash mark, and Michael Bolden rumbling, stumbling, hanging onto the ball with both hands, Michael.
Same exact play they ran the play previous, and they get about the same amount of yardage right there, and it's really simple football. It's just our guys being stronger than your guys in this case, and Orange is doing a good job of flipping the field position here.
Gain of 6. That'll be a first down at the 40, just shy of the 48-yard line. Like our old friend John Shoup used to say, hey, man, run it till they stop it.
That's absolutely right. It's not a hard game.
Double slot. Left side, Pettifer. Right side, Tay Jones. Single setback, Michael Bolden. Tay Jones now goes in motion outside. Handoff goes Pettiford, and this one, again, a little slow to develop. And Pettiford takes that little inside-out handoff going from left to right, and just so slow to develop, and it's going to catch him for about a 2-yard loss and bring up second down and 12. And, again, it's just not working. Stay with what works. Straight ahead, north-south. Hit them hard.
They were trying to hit the same gap that they had in the plays previous, but what happens is that the angle's different for the running back entering it when they're trying to get it to one of those wing backs, and it's just taking too long for them to get there, and they had a negative play there.
Orange Panthers, 10. Southern Spartans, 10. Ball back on the 45-yard line. Panthers in business. Second down, 12. 7:19 remaining in the second. Running that double slot. Five-step drop. Clover, pump fake, looks left, has a man. Archrell Stewart, jump ball, and Jordan Brown out there on coverage. Jordan Brown has a little bit to say, but I'll tell you what. If I'm the referee, give him a little warning and say, son, that's an arm bar. You can't throw your arm back across the chest of the receiver because that's what was holding Archrell Stewart back.
They ran a little out and up with Archrell Stewart down here at the bottom of the field, and Jordan Brown did a really good job. It was a heck of a pass because it was thrown right where it needed to be caught, and Brown kind of widened him and used his body a little bit to get him a little bit wider than he needed to be, and it ended up being an incomplete pass.
I wouldn't doubt if Archrell Stewart came back to the huddle and said, let's do that one again because I absolutely had him, and he's not going to hold me again. They do come out in the same formation, only now they bring Tay Jones out wide to the near side along with Archrell Stewart. Three-step drop. This slant. Archrell Stewart, he does. He catches the ball at the 45-yard line. Puts his shoulder down. The ball is on the ground as he tried to get those extra 2 yards. The ball is fumbled. And Archrell Stewart able to gain 15 yards on that little slant pattern. That's the second time they've used that slant pattern. And it's run like a pop pass. Garrett Clore actually takes the snap. Goes down so he's not able to be seen by the backs, then pops up and throws that dart to Archrell Stewart. That's the second time, and it's gone for 2 passes for 30 yards.
Stewart was the first receiver out here. They took the second receiver out on a little sideways bubble screen, and they faked that, and the outside linebacker Southern jumped on the fake screen, and they hit the window where he vacated, and really was a nice play, and once again they're capitalizing on Southern's undisciplined defensive philosophy right now.
Archrell Stewart had something to say there. Here's Michael Bolden. Goes off tackle right, and Bolden. Bruises a couple of kneecaps. He's finally brought down on the play after a gain of about two. Let's call it two, and it'll make it second down and eight. 6:25 remaining to play here at Southern High School. Spartans undefeated. Orange undefeated rather in conference. They had two losses to 4A competition early in the season, but undefeated in conference, and they were the ones to give these Orange Panthers their only defeat. Long count now here. Play clock under 5 seconds for Clower. Takes it with three. Three-step drop. Looks across the middle. Going to take it himself. Going to tuck this one away. And, you know, it's disappointing, I'm sure, to the Orange sideline, but that's a great play by Clower to tuck that one away and get a gain of one.
That's exactly right. It went from, you know, get that 1 yard's a big play here, and I think it's playing out just like Orange wants it to. You know, this is about the 10th or 11th play of this drive, and it's sapping this clock here, about 5 minutes left in the second quarter, and they're moving the ball down the field consistently, and they're capitalizing on third down. And here we are again with a third and eight, and then once again it's going to be in Clower's hand to make that decision to be able to move the sticks.
Just moments inside the second quarter, this drive started at the 21-yard line, and it's been an excellently managed job, a well-managed drive by Garrett Clower. Out of the eye, pitch, right side, Tay Jones cuts up, off tackle. They stand him up, push him back. More defenders come up from the linebacker spot, and Tay Jones has not had any success, really, running the ball tonight. Outside of the one play he ran in the first quarter, which was called back due to a hold. And Tay Jones, you know, he was the one who got this team up and running in the first game, as he finally got him on the board with a 92-yard touchdown run at the end of the second quarter to really get Orange fired back up again. Now brings up, with no gain on that, brings up fourth down and seven with 4:35. Deep trap, Clower throws a little screen pass. Patrick Pettiford catches the ball at the line of scrimmage. He's going to get the first down. It's going to be a gain of nine. What a beautiful call by the Orange offensive unit.
Absolutely. Set them up perfectly for it. You knew they were going to go for it on fourth down when they went on that third down call. It looked like they were just trying to make it a little bit closer on fourth. And that screen pass, they let the Southern defensive front come straight through, and Clower threw a nice ball to Pettiford. Didn't go over the line of scrimmage, and he had his entire offensive line as a caddy down the field to give them the easy first down.
Boy, that's a textbook draw up there of a delayed screen, and they did. They let that offensive line come, or the defensive line come right in after them, and they all had big wide eyes looking at that number 12 on Clower's chest, and then the ball went right over the top. It's a gain of 10. Brings up first down and 10 from the 33-yard line. Clower want to throw that quick slant once again. This time Kai Muller was the intended receiver, but it's going to be incomplete, nearly picked off. And I think there was a little miscommunication there between Kai Muller and Patrick Pettiford, because they seem to be occupying the same real estate there at about the 15-yard line and brought too many defenders to the ball.
Exactly, and Pettiford didn't look for the football, and they end up getting an illegal receiver downfield as far as a formation goes, because I think Pettiford lined up on the line of scrimmage, and so they end up being an ineligible receiver by alignment, and they both went downfield for the pass. So that'd be a big penalty there. Again, Orange is killing themselves a little bit here in this first half with unforced penalties.
Well, now they take the 5-yard penalty, and, you know, honestly, Jason, the way you kind of wonder, why do you take the penalty instead of making it second down and 10?
Yeah, you're right. You know, in that case, they do have a good field goal kicker. Might be on the fringe of his range right now. Try to get him to go backwards here.
10 apiece, 4:08 remaining to play here in the second quarter of the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week. Alongside Jason Tudrin, Paul Connell with the call, Pamlin down on the sidelines, 32.5-yard line. First down, 15, Pettiford, handoff, straight ahead, bounces to the right side. He's going to get up close to the 30-yard line. Let's call it the 31. It'll be a gain of about, let's call it two, and brings up second down and 13.
I think both defenses are doing a good job of having a bend but don't break philosophy tonight. Haven't been a ton of big plays down the field. And each defense is stiffened as it's gotten down inside the 30-yard line. So it's about second and 14 right now on the 30-yard line for Orange.
Great play there by Jamari McQueen, 6 foot 235. He's able to stuff up Patrick Pettiford after a gain of, well, they're only going to give him one, bring up second down and 14. Straight drop, three steps, looking left. Here's Clower, has a man, a little curl, at the 24-yard line by Artrell Stewart. Stewart double covered there by Brown and Cameron, and they'll give him the ball at the 25-yard line. So it's really only it's a gain. It's got a gain of six, and it's going to make it third down and seven. And we know that Orange is really in four-down territory anytime they cross the 40.
Absolutely. They've done a great job on this drive of converting the four or five on third down here. And the one that they didn't get, we left it on fourth and inches, and Clower got the QB sneak here. So once again, rolling at 2 minutes and 45 seconds left in the second quarter. Orange is doing a great job of executing their game plan.
Back to the eye. Been very successful. Yep, man, Michael Bolden, long count, pitch, right side, fake the pitch. Clower going to keep it himself, looking down the middle. He's got Tay Jones. Looked like he threw it to the middle. Tay Jones, it was past Tay Jones, intended for Archerell Stewart. And once again, you got two receivers that weren't supposed to be on the same acreage there. And I think you had a mix-up, and it cost them the completion.
I think they had a case of Archerell Stewart trying to do a little too much right there, because I think it was intended for Jones down the right hash. They faked the toss sweep to the right side, and Archerell Stewart just kind of coming in trying to make a play there and brought his defender into the play, so it ended up screwing it up for him.
It did, and, you know, I'll tell you, it was a great job of play action by Garrett Clower. He had everybody fooled, and he had a receiver. But, again, Archerell Stewart brought too many defenders there. Single setback. Bolden, fourth down, six, play action. Plenty of time. Now he steps up in the pocket. In a little bit of trouble, he's going to go down. Sacked on the play. Terrific job of getting in there by Taj Spivey. 6'1", 215, junior, came up from his linebacker spot and applied the pressure. And they're in there to finally get him. Noah Chase, 6'5", 296. And down goes Clower. It's his first sack.
That was the
evening,
same play.
And most importantly, though, it took him out of field goal range, Jason.
It was the same play that they scored on early in the game in fourth down. It's that naked bootleg that they love to run. They've run forever. And that time, the defensive end did a great job of staying home and stringing it out, and the internal pressure ended up causing the sack to turn the ball over.
That's my fault. It was fourth down, turnover on downs. Now here comes the Panthers to bring five up in the box out of the shotgun. Single covered, right side, got a man, Maurice Trowell, and he overthrew him. Hitting, overthrew him at the 30-yard line. He was single covered by Piscitelli. He had a step on him at the 30. Kendall Hinton's eyes got as big as, well, dinner plates when he looked there and he saw a fly pattern and single coverage on the right side. Piscitelli was there, and he just overthrew him by 2 yards. That's the second time tonight.
Yeah, I think Orange caught a break there, because Piscatelli's been up pressing people, and they found a way to get Trowell on Piscatelli, and he was wide open.
Piscatelli spent most of his time on Anthony Mason. Now he's over here on Trowell. Single cover once again. They're looking back at him again. He's on Mason. Now they throw the ball down the middle of the field, and it was intended. Looked like it was intended for Maurice Trowell, and Trowell, a little alligator arms there. He found himself in the middle of three defenders and didn't really look like he wanted that ball.
Well, he was thrown a little bit behind him. I think they're doing a good job of putting Hinton inside in the slot right now. And he was open, and Hinton threw it to his back shoulder, and Trowell kept running straight ahead. That was a missed opportunity there, because it could have been a big play.
Back there in coverage, J.D. Brooks playing center field, 6'3", 180, making a little noise. Now out of the shotgun, three more steps, looks to his right. Hinton wants to run it. Goes to his left, and a great job of Stevenson hanging in there and gets him at the left hash mark, gets him before the 40-yard line. And, you know, terrific job of, again, Byron Stevenson, 6'3", 260, showing a little quickness there. And I think really what the word has been to both Stevenson and also to Mark Holt has been, look, we don't need you to sack him. We don't need you to go back there. What we need you to do is when there's a potential coverage sack, we need you to stay home and prevent him from running the ball. And so far twice they've been able to do that and only given up gains of 5 and 6 yards. It's going to bring up fourth down and four. Quickly, let's go on down to Jeff Hamlin and see what the word is on the Southern Durham sideline.
Well, we talked about this earlier, Paul, the importance of keeping Kendall Hinton off the field, and that's exactly what Orange has done for this second quarter. Even though the game is tied at 10 right now, to force a three and out and for Orange to get the ball back here, if Southern elects the punt and they have a fourth and four situation, it would be huge, because it gives them a chance to score here at the very end of the first half. And remember, Orange gets the ball back to start the second half. So this is a critical phase of the game. And when you're talking about the Southern Durham kicking game, all bets are off.
1:51 remaining to play here at Southern High School. Spartans coming out facing a fourth and four. Kendall Hinton will be all by himself in the backfield. He'll have five receivers to choose from and try and spread out this Panther defense. He's got trips to the right, two to the short side on the left. The ball on the left hash mark. 43-yard line, four in the box. They drop off the blitz. Little slant pattern thrown right side, incomplete, intended for Kerry Ivory. Ivory cannot hold on to this one. The big receiver has it bounce off his hands. Again, great coverage by Bradshaw. And up there, J.D. Brooks, and it's going to be turned over on downs. And not only is it turned over on downs, but it's turned over on downs with 1:47 remaining to play in the second quarter in Spartan territory.
I tell you, they gave the impression to the Southern offense that they had a wide receiver open. Southern went with no backs. They had number two receiver uncovered, and then they bailed out the snap of the football, and they covered all five areas where the ball was going to be thrown, and the Southern defensive back did a great job of punching it free to turn the ball back over to their offense.
Now a chance for Orange to do what has not been done, and that's put Southern on the ropes at half. Straight drop, three, now five steps back to the 45, going long, right side, Kai Muller, open, picked off at the five, and back into the end zone, and it's picked off, looked like it's picked off by Jeremy Griffiths. Griffiths back there playing a little center field, and I think that Garrett Clover just got a little too trigger happy on that one because Kai Muller was not open.
No, he was, and he forced the ball down the field. It's really the first time I've seen Garrett Clover force the football, and it's not a difficult spot here because there's a minute 38 left, and he's trying to make a play, and Griffiths actually stepped out of bounds at about the 5-yard line. So the way the Southern's offense has been playing here could be a little bit of an opportunity with two timeouts left to make them have to punt it or to do something like with a little bit more time left in this half.
Well, and if you're Pat Moser, you tell your unit, look, just wipe it out of your head. Let's treat it as a punt. Let's treat it as a punt inside the 5-yard line.
That's correct.
First and 10. Here's Hinton from his own end zone. Throws across the middle. Has a man. You forget about the punt philosophy. Brings it out to the 22-yard line. And that's a great catch by Maurice Trowell. As it was the Panthers. That's the first time they've been back there in kind of a two-deep zone. And it was Hinton finding that seam as he sent Maurice Trowell over the middle for the first time tonight.
They've been trying to find Trowell in the slot over the middle for really the last three plays, and that was the first time that they got him. And, Arn's going to have an answer for that because they had Trowell outside early in the game and they were pressing him, and he really didn't do too much. And now he's got him inside the slot. It makes it difficult to press him up at that area of the field.
Well, I think that the Spartans have finally realized, that this is a defense that's not going to buckle here, that they've bent, they're not going to break, they haven't been able to get the big play. We certainly have the weapons. Well, why don't we start using them incrementally rather than trying to go for the 20 on the dartboard every time we throw it? And, instead of 50-yard gains, let's see if we can get some 15, and that's what they did there.
And I think Orange has to learn from that philosophy, too, because I think they tried a little too much in that last first play that they had in the ball and Clover threw that interception. Patient, you have to be a little bit patient here on offense, take what they give you.
Pesatelli gives a little buffer to Mason. He's going to run the fly. Hinton wants to run it himself. Gets past the first two defenders, now three, now four, and finally coming back to get him at the 40-yard line. This is a great recovery there by Stevenson, and also finally able to capture him on the scramble at the 40-yard line. And it'll be first and 10 as Jack LeMaster was finally able to come up and get him. First and 10 now at the 40. Hinton would like to go long, now throws short, checks off, and hits his receiver right in the chest. It looked like William Cameron, and Cameron tried to run with that one before he had it in his hands. It'll bring up second down and 10, stopping the clock with 59.2 remaining to play here in the second quarter, and the score locked at 10 apiece.
I think Orange has got to keep everything in front of them right now. They don't have to worry about, stopping 5 to 10-yard plays. They just got to drop off and make sure to keep the ball in front of them.
Two receivers over on the right side. They only have one defender, and that's Pesatelli, and he's going to go long. And Pesatelli's going to pick this one off. Bad mistake by Kendall Hinton. Pesatelli's going to pick it off at the 22-yard line. There was a huge, huge defensive error by the Panthers. They had two receivers off to the near side. They had William Cameron. They had William Cameron, and they had Anthony Mason. They had Mason off to the near side, and nobody realized, even Pesatelli didn't realize, that he wasn't getting any help from the defense on the inside. Kendall Hinton saw it, quick count, takes a three-step drop, and throws the first duck I've ever seen Kendall Hinton throw. It was really a ball that was meant to go 40 yards, and it went 30. And Piscitelli was out there, and he said, this is a Thanksgiving miracle.
I think he's the luckiest man in the stadium right now, because he was asked to cover two of Southern's best receivers down the field, and he didn't cover either of them, but the ball was thrown directly to him. So that was a great play, and he ended up making a catch on it. But Southern dodged the bullet there.
Great job by Piscitelli to stay in between both receivers, right, and then take advantage of that ball thrown short at the 22-yard line. First mistake made by Hinton. Handoff goes straight ahead, just to the right side of center. And that will be Lemaster with a gain of, well, let's call it two. We'll call it a long two, make it second and short eight. And with 28 seconds and counting, Orange not really all that interested in pressing the action here, especially with what happened on that last pass play. I think they'd like to get Garrett Clower to the locker room, get him warm. Lemaster comes out, sure hands,
they don't
slot
need to
right.
Snap it.
Out of the eye. Oh, and they do. They pitch it right side. Patrick Pettiford all alone in the backfield in trouble, and he's going to run out of bounds, Jason Tudrin. He's going to run out, and he's going to stop the clock with just a handful of seconds left. In fact, it looks like the scoreboard says 2.1. First off, I was surprised they snapped it. Second off, I was surprised that they pitched it. And the third thing was, it looked like Pettiford actually wanted to pass that.
Yeah, you want, especially in this area of the field, you want to eliminate and lessen your chances for a mistake. In this case right now, there's 2 seconds left in the half. The ball's inside the 20-yard line. You don't want to give Southern any glimpse of hope of putting some points on the board here, so it looks like they'll possibly take a knee here.
They're going to go into the protect formation, three backs in the backfield, and Garrett Clower going to take the snap, put a knee on the field, and we're at halftime. Here at Southern High School, the score is 10-10. And in a track meet, the past 3 weeks, including the end of the regular season, this was entirely unexpected. We knew that defense would certainly come into play, and it has been the Orange Panthers putting together one heck of a game plan today, and it has earned them a deadlock score at 10, as they have, it's locked on the board, but they have had the better run of play in this first half, Jason, and Pat Moser has to leave the field very proud of his troops.
Oh, absolutely. I think, in Coach Moser's credit, he's gone out and he said to his kids, we're going to go out and play this thing to win as opposed to be playing it afraid to lose. And, they come out immediately and they kick onside kicks to start the game. And, they're throwing deep balls. Their kids are executing on third and fourth down. And so Orange has really won the first half, in my opinion, because they've been the more physical team. They've been the team that's persevered through some tough situations, and they're executing. And now it's going to be interesting to see, as they get the ball in the second half here, what they can do with it. Another long drive could be pretty demoralizing for the Southern side of the football field.
Well, and I'll tell you, here's something that you don't really realize. It's a cold night tonight. Now, look, we're happy to be up here on top of the box, and it's a beautiful night tonight. Crisp, clear, cool, not very windy. But here's the thing now. Orange, they go underneath, they go over by their goalpost, and they're still out in the elements. And it's cold out here. Now, the Spartans, they go into the home locker room where it's nice and warm and toasty. You get themselves a hot chocolate, and here's poor Orange out here in the elements, and you got to wonder how that might affect the first 5 or 6 minutes of this third quarter.
Yeah, it's going to be only about a 15-minute deal, so I think the kids that are playing for Orange, they'll be fine, and everybody else is just kind of cold over there, but they'll figure it out.
Jeff Hamlin is down on the sidelines, and Jeff, we witnessed one heck of a first half. As, once again, the Southern Spartans come back from a 7-0 deficit, able to tie it up at 7 apiece, and then both sides trade some field goals, and we're locked at 10 as we end the first half.
Yes, absolutely right, Paul. And it's interesting that Kendall Hinton's passing numbers aren't as crisp as they have been over the last few weeks. He was only 8 of 18, actually 8 of 19, throwing the ball for 109 yards in that first half. And Southern Durham as a whole only wound up with 156 yards total offense. That's well below the usual pace. We've seen them roll up 400, 500 yards at times this year. Orange, meanwhile, has 156 yards total offense. And the thing that really stands out for the Panthers is the fact that Tay Jones has usually managed to really make his presence felt running the football tonight. Tate only has 1 yard rushing. This coming off a game where he had his season high of 256 yards against Cleveland. 1 yard rushing by Tay Jones. And Orange as a whole, even though they controlled the majority of the clock during the first half of play, really hasn't run the ball all that effectively during the first half of play. They only ran for 46 yards.
Well, I think if you're looking for a kind of an unsung hero, we've mentioned his name a number of times. The play of Michael Bolden has been exceptional in the backfield tonight. First thing is he's been able to run well. He's made 3 first downs. He's been able to get at least 5 yards on any time he's gone off the middle, and a lot more than that when he's gone off tackle. But the most important part, Michael Bolden has held on to the rock tonight. He has not put it on the ground. You've seen that when he gets the ball, except for the first carry where he went off left tackle and went left and put the ball in his right arm. And I think that it was, it was something that was told to him. I think they said, Michael, if you want to stay in the game, you got to put both hands on that ball. And every time he carried the ball in that first half from that point forward, he really covered it up. And I think when a big guy like that covers it with 2 hands, he starts hunched over, he runs downhill, he doled out some punishment.
One thing I want to see as this game goes on, Paul, is if Orange goes back to those short crossing patterns. Because even though Southern Durham is the team that likes long vertical passes down the field, Orange is a team that will look to get their big play threats involved via shorter passes. Garrett Clower completed 62% of his passes during the regular season. Going into the half year, he's 8 of 14 for 1 touchdown and 1 interception for 110 yards. And we saw on Orange's 2 scoring drives during the first half that their big play threats, Kai Muller and Artrell Stewart, if you get them involved, chances are good things will happen. Orange really went away from that, and they relied on screen passes to Pat Pettiford to make big things happen, along with the runs by Michael Bolden. So if Orange can get those big play threats going during the second half, it could be a different story, and we could see Orange come out on top in this game. Remember, the Panthers do start the second half with the ball.
And Jeff Hamlin doing a fantastic job for us down on the sidelines. Jeff, my friend, grab yourself some hot cocoa and get ready for that second half.
Going to need it.
Jason Tudor, and I think what you're looking at here are 2 coaching staffs that have done an exceptional job of preparing their teams to face a team that they are very familiar with on tape and they're familiar with because they've played before. And you mentioned, we heard Jeff mention that the typical threats for both teams, let's talk about the legs of Kendall Hinton and the catches of Mason, have been taken away. And for Orange, the running of Tay Jones and the receiving of Kai Muller has been taken away by that opposition defense. But it's Orange that really has shown kind of their depth and resilience here by finding other ways to move the ball.
You're absolutely right. I think Orange is more poised team right now. They're not panicking when things don't go exactly their way. I think Antrell Stewart's done a good job of having a couple big catches offensively to balance things up between Muller and Pettiford. And then on defense, with the field conditions the way they are, it's a little sloppy out there. Hinton hasn't been able to do a ton of getting outside the box and being able to make that 1 or 2 guys miss because he's sliding around a little bit. And I think he's really developed. I think they're panicking a little bit on offense at Southern because right now all he's looking for is really Trawl. If Trawl's not open and he's tucking and he's running and maybe getting 5 or 6 yards, and if I'm a coach at Orange High right now, I'm excited to tackle him after 5 or 6 yards because it was a negative play for them in my mind because they were trying to throw the football down the field. And you'll see some of the Southern receivers after those situations kind of give the old palms up, like what's going on deal. And that usually as a coach it just shows that your kids are pressing a little too much, they're playing a little anxious, and you got to settle them down and make sure they concentrate on doing their assignment.
Well, with an athletic quarterback, with a quarterback that can hurt you with his feet and is really understands the flow of the game and understands where the seams are, whether he's running or throwing. The one thing that you want to make an athletic quarterback who's very reactionary, what you want to make him do is you want to make him think. And Orange defense has done a great job tonight. And let's give credit where credit's due to Drew LeMaster, to Nick Schultz, to the big fella, Byron Stevenson, to Bryce Wilson, to the soda machine, Mark Holt. They've done a great job of saying, I know I can't chase you down. I'm not going to get a sack. I'm not going to chase you down. But you know what? if you decide you're going to stick your foot in the ground and tuck the ball under your arm, you're not going to get more than 4 or 5 yards. And we have only seen Kendall Hinton run the ball twice tonight for about 11 yards. Here's a guy who's running for over 100 a game. And they've really done a great job of containing him in a very big box.
You know, that's exactly right. That's a great point, because I think Orange defensive staff, you know, for as long as I've been in Orange County, Orange has been known for their 4-4 defense. They're going to line up and play their 4-4, and that's what they're going to do. And tonight they've changed it up. They brought 3-man pressure, they brought 4-man pressure, and they brought 5-man pressure. And that's really helped confuse Hinton, because sometimes it'll give Orange's defense will give the impression with six people at the line of scrimmage that they are going to blitz, and then they'll bail out and cover some zones, and that's what helped them on that fourth down play at the end of the half there, where they batted the play down. So they're doing a good job of making Southern guess on offense, and they're giving multiple looks to make it difficult on Hinton, because if it's not there for trial, he's putting it down and he's trying to do something with his feet, which is increasing the levels of frustration for Southern offense when they look at the scoreboard and everyone around them saying, why don't we have 30 or 40 points right now, because it's the way it's been all season long. You're going to have to find a way to win the game in this time of year, this type of conditions, in a situation that maybe isn't what everybody expected to see.
Absolutely not. And on a beautiful night here in Durham, the Orange Panthers have come out from Hillsboro and looking for a little revenge. And they have exacted it thus far to the tune of 10-10 on the scoreboard. But they have certainly had the better run of play. In case you just joined us, you're listening to WCHL High School Football Game of the Week. Paul Cottle, along with Jason Tudor and Jeff Hamlin, patrolling the sidelines. And it was the Orange defense coming up strong, stopping Kendall Hinton and this offensive unit with a three and out to start, and giving Garrett Clower a chance to have the Panthers draw first blood after it was the Spartans that actually received the opening kickoff. And on a third and 8 from the 35-yard line, it was Garrett Clower taking a quick three-step drop and then adding more to that, 5-7 drops, extended the play a la Ben Roethlisberger, faced off a blitzing defensive end, stepped up in the pocket, and then was able to find his target, Kai Muller, right on the goal line with a 35-yard strike to put these Panthers up 7-0. Two possessions later, after the battle was waged in the middle of the field, it was the Panthers punting, or rather, the Panthers getting the ball down to the 25-yard line of the Spartans, and the Spartans taking the ball down 75 yards in 11 plays, and it was capped off surprisingly once they got the ball to the 11-yard line. Jordan Brown with 3 straight runs up the middle, the third one from 2 yards out. He breaks the plane and, you know, ties this thing up at 7 apiece. And then in the second quarter, both teams trade field goals, and the most impressive part of that was that Orange was able to force the Spartans into a field goal after they had basically 4 shots from inside the 5, and they were able to string out the first 3, and then they force a field goal to make the score 10-10 as we are now at half. We got about 4 minutes until this one fires back up again. There's a run on mittens and hot chocolate, but it's all kinds of hot football action here on the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week. We're going to pause for a 60-second break and a station identification. We'll be back. You're listening to the WCHL High School Football Game of the Week on 97.9 FM, 1360 AM, and chapelboro.com. Come on back and join us. It's a good one.